Well, here's some program notes for you. Of course, we're going to have Ghost to Ghost for you on Friday night, Halloween night, October 31st. And then as we get down to Thanksgiving, hard to believe that's coming up too. We will have a live program for you on Thanksgiving Thursday and then that following Friday. Just so you know, a live program on Thanksgiving night and on Christmas night. And we will have a live program for you on Christmas night. And, of course, Christmas Eve will be here as well. Okay, welcome back. Let's go to the phones. John in Long Island, you're on the air with us. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, good.
Okay, we talked about a year ago. I got a good, definitely be a good show. Me and you love talk, that show, Talk Radio.
With now, Eric Bogosian, great movie.
Exactly. Now, what we do, you try to get, I don't know how you get a hold of him, what you got to do there, but you actually have open lines with him and actually just do like a show and just see how he actually answers these calls in real life, just to have a little fun.
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
Huh?
It's not a bad idea at all.
Huh? If you can get a hold of him, that's the problem, if you can actually, you know.
We can get anybody.
That's it. I hope you can do it. That'll be a lot of entertainment right
okay,
there,
John.
That's for sure.
All right.
Take care, John.
Thanks. Absolutely. Rosemary in Montana, you're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Rosemary, how are you?
Hi, George. Fine. First time I've ever spoken with you and second time caller.
Well, good. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm calling because I know you've had George Urey on and Cliff, and I've heard you interview them. And I also love Alex Jones and I love your guests. They're just wonderful. Sometimes I listen to their programs, and I'm not usually up this late, but I thought I was listening to you tonight, and it's always good to hear your voice.
Well, you know, each guest brings to the table something unique.
Yes.
Sometimes it's entertainment. Sometimes it's scary doom and gloom. Sometimes it's
yes.
news we can all use, but they all have their own little strength.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. And I love the diversity in your guests. You are very open to all of them and where they're coming from, which is great, and which is why I'm calling.
All right.
I'm calling about this October 7th date that the web bots that George Urey and Cliff and Igor handle, and the October 7th date. And I had been alerted by a friend that September 27th was going to usher in a beginning of a new tension release period that would build up through October 7th, and then that something would happen, give or take 3 or 4 days, either way. I think it was 3 or 4.
Maybe something dramatic?
Something that would actually make everyone, George, hold their breath and basically go into a mode where they cannot believe that whatever this thing is actually happening. And this release language is due to go through to the 22nd of February 2009. And along with that, there's a lot, of course, about food scarcity, which we all know about. And
sure.
Again, many of your guests speak that often and address. And Colonel Ed James, I was looking back through past shows while I was waiting for you to come on and for me to come on, and saw that he had been on May 23rd, I believe, and he was addressing some of the same things. Well, I called, my first call ever and last call ever to the show was on, I guess it's called Predictions Night or something on,
yes,
you know, so I did that last, let's see, a year ago, it'll be 2 years ago, this coming December 30th.
That's right.
And I spoke to Art, and
we had 2 nights of that, I think.
Yes, there were 2 nights of that, and I went to re-listen to what I had spoken to Art Bell about, and he was a bit surprised, but I told him this was a revelation, not a prediction, and I said, I'm a believer, and I said, I know you're a Catholic as well, and so is your wife, and he was expecting a child, and everybody was giving their opinions on what it was. Well, I knew it was a girl, and I mean, that is not me. That was just what I said, and so, of course, he wanted to get into semantics, but here's the thing. I think that what I said to him then, and it hadn't really been addressed at that point, was that we would experience a U.S. economic collapse totally, and as well as a global collapse.
You said that on the air.
I said it on the air, and unfortunately, it's cut out on the past shows, you know, where you go back on the archives. I'm a Streamlink member, and I have to find out how to get access to you on Tuesday night, by the way. I'm going to have to call one of your producers and find out how to do that. But anyway, I told him that on, it was December 30th. It'll be 2 years ago, so whatever that would be, 2006. Yes, going into...
How did you know this? What happened? How did
It was just I had been... praying, and I know that you're also a believer, and a good friend of mine who's also into radio. I want to leave his name out of it, but it was no surprise to him. It was a surprise to him, I think, that I had called Art Bell. But in any case, I told him that, and I pray for this gentleman regularly, and he's a wonderful host in his own right. But I was praying, and the word, this is what I heard, total economic collapse in the United States of America and global complete global collapse as well.
Well, see, we almost got to that, Rosemary. I don't know if what they're trying to do now is going to fix this or not. Folks on the Wall Street were jumping for joy. Problem is they're going to turn to us to bail them out with more and more money that we simply do not have. Let's take a few more callers here. Let's go to Joe in St. Louis. Welcome to the program. Joe, how's St. Louis today?
Hey, pretty good, man. Man, this is the first time I got to talk to you. I listened to you, George, from way back, man, when you had that late night show here in St. Louis.
On KTRS, the old Nighthawk show.
Yeah, you done got all big time on us over here, man. And
I still come back to St. Louis. You know that.
Yeah, I hear that you're going to be back the whole month of October.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, before I'll make it real quick. Your buddy Frank mentioned your name today on his show.
Frank Opinion. How's he doing?
Oh, he's doing pretty good, and what he said about you, man, I was laughing, you know, Frank.
I know,
and
Frank. I'll see him when I come back.
Well, you won't see Karen.
Yeah, I heard she's leaving.
The way Frank talks, she didn't have a choice. But maybe this to kind of, you know, give hope to somebody. But, you know, I've never had surgery in my life. And 2 years ago, I was going in to have knee surgery. And, man, George, I was so nervous. Woo! I don't know, man. And my wife kept telling me, oh, calm down. It's only a knee surgery. And I was looking, you know, and all these doctors standing there and these people.
Oh, yeah. And if it's the first time, that's scary. Was it arthroscopic or do they really have to tear you up?
They had to do a lot of work anyway. He said I'd be in there a couple hours, and, you know, I never was one to be, you know, not knowing what's going on around me. So, you know, I'm feeling, oh, my God, you know, and even the anesthesiologist, he come in, I'm a little nervous here, but the anesthesiologist come in, you know, and he says, well, I'm going to give you a cocktail, buddy, to calm you down. I said, well, I hope so. And so when I was in there, George, I'm telling you, if I was an artist, I could paint it right today. Now, I consider myself a good Christian, and I've always believed, had the faith, because, you know, growing up in a Italian family, you know, well, a lot of them are Catholic.
Very religious, yeah.
Yeah, and well, you know, as I got older there, I kind of went on to my own denomination, but anyway, I still kept the faith.
Okay.
And George, it was like pitch black. I saw a silhouette of someone that I'm telling you now, I believe it. And it had the prettiest white gown on that you'd ever seen. I couldn't even describe the color of that white, and long dark hair. And all I know is the silhouette raised its arms up to me, and I woke up. And I looked at my wife. The first thing I said to her, and if she was here, she'd tell you, I looked at her and I said, honey, Jesus is real. And she goes, why? And I explained it to her, you know, and I was talking loud. And all these nurses and whoever was in there, you know, in the recovery room, they're all kind of looking at me like I'm nuts. But, you know, I just felt good. And, you know, that was just something I like to share with you.
And how was the surgery? Good?
Oh, yeah, it turned out good. I went in there because it was hurting and popping and everything else. And about a month later, well, became hurting and popping again. And the doctor said, well, yeah, and he says, well, we can go back in there and do this. I said, no, first time's good enough, man.
And are you limping or are you okay?
No, it's all right. You know, I'm a truck driver. They just said it was, you know, from all the years in the truck and doing what I do on the side trailer, you know, emptying out the freight and all that stuff, you know, but I'm just going to live with it. I ain't going back under tonight.
All right, Joe. Call Frank on his show. Tell him I'm coming after him.
I hear you. I will Monday.
Okay, you got it.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go. He's talking about Frank Opinion, who's got a highly rated show on our affiliate in St. Louis, KTRS, and which, by the way, I may be broadcasting out of because of the potential damage to the cave. Let's go to Canyon City, Colorado. Bruce, first-time caller, you're on the air. Hey, Bruce, what's up?
Not too much. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Good. The other day, speaking of Alex Jones.
It's coming up next week.
Yeah, I was, it was Monday morning. I woke up, and I'm drinking a cup of coffee, and I'm looking outside my window. I live in a small town, small community. And I look out my window, and I see these guys in camouflage pants walking down my street with black shirts. And I go, huh, that's weird. And I stuck my head out the back door, and I just watch them walking down the street. They had radios on, and they were on foot.
So they were in touch with somebody.
They were in touch with somebody, and, you know, I thought, well, you know, maybe they're, you know, they were police or something like that. You know, then I turned the news on and heard about, you know, the stock market, you know, diving.
Sure.
And I didn't think anything of it. And I went into work about half an hour later. And then I get a friend of mine came over to do laundry at my house. And she, you know, this is 3 hours later. And she goes, there's all these vans parked out around the neighborhood. And there's all these military guys out here. And I go, what do you mean military guys? And then it dawned on me. I saw these two guys walking around. It was like they were doing search. They were doing like they were getting ready for something. And it was they were doing search stuff. She went out and talked to them for a second. She said she saw them looking in alleys and over fences. And I go, what the heck are they doing? I, you know, they don't have a right to do that stuff.
But what were they looking for?
I have no idea. They said they were doing a tracking practicing tracking. And I go, well, what are they tracking? You know, it's like, I was just thinking, you know, with the stock market, I go, man, maybe they're getting ready for martial law. You know, the closest army base is about 40 miles away from here.
Could be an exercise, but you never know.
Yeah. Hey, you know, something else I wanted to talk to you about too was, I know, are you still playing harmonica?
Yeah, I am.
I'm a self-taught harmonica player for about 40 years. I was wondering if I could just get a little thing in.
Sure.
Okay. You ready?
Here we go. That's as bad as me. I'm kidding. All right, thanks.
Take care.
Bakersfield, California. Daniel, you're on the air with us. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, what's up, George?
All is well.
Hey, man, big fan, and I appreciate what you've done for the movement.
You are welcome.
I consider myself a young revolutionary myself, so hopefully, you know, I'll look up to you, up-and-coming journalist.
Well, you know, the bottom line is we just want the truth. You know, that's what it's all about.
You know, where we went wrong is truth became an opinion, not a feeling.
You got that right.
And it went horribly wrong, you know. And I like how David Icke puts it. You know, we all, we're kind of like sheep. We deceived ourselves.
He's right.
And Actually, what I really called was to tell you a story, you know.
Okay.
About an encounter I had up in Washington with, I believe, the Illuminati or maybe some brujas, some witches, I don't know. Back in June, my dad, he just got released from California Department of Corrections.
Okay.
And we went up to Washington State to one of his buddy's house to get some of our furniture and stuff that his buddy had taken out of storage and held for him. So
that's a good friend, by the way.
Yeah, you know, it's always good to have those friends.
Yeah.
You get them every once in a while who just aren't acquaintances. You know?
They don't come around very often.
Yeah, it's a dime and a dozen, you know. And, well, we're up there packing and doing all this stuff. And where this guy lives, I'm telling you, George, straight Bigfoot country. Tree after tree after tree, mountains, you know, wilderness. And so we're up there getting the stuff. We got a U-Haul up there. And his buddy, I'm 22 and he's about 28. So, you know, we're around the same age. We goof off a lot and stuff. And he has some guns and he was like, you know, we want to go fire a gun, shoot off a little bit. I was like, yeah, and he was telling me about this spot. And he said, yeah, it looks like, he's like, it's a real cool spot to shoot by, like, a waterfall in the lake. He's like, it's got a, it's like an archway, like a Stonehenge-looking thing built out of cobblestone and mortar. And he said, it's about 12 feet tall. It's really cool looking. He said, I don't know what it's for. It's got a fire pit behind it, though. And I was like, what, you know? And I was like, well, maybe.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was saying, well, maybe, you know, it's some people or kids partying out there. And we were like, all right. Well, so one night we decided we're shooting guns. We're going to go check it out, you know, and he's going to show me. So we're going to check it out. And we're coming down this mountain road, and it's a dirt road, of course, and it's about 11:30 at night. And we're driving, and I'm in the bed of the truck. He drives a Toyota Tundra. And I'm in the bed of the truck, and we're coming down the road, and I see a big old fire. And he stops, and he saw it about the same time I did. He stops, and he opened his sliding window on the inside, and he's like, you see that? I was like, yeah. I was like, maybe there's somebody partying. Let's go check it out. So we start cruising down there, and as we're cruising down there, the fire is huge. I'm talking about 6 to 7 feet in the air. And I see all these people standing around it. And a weird, weird thing still gets me today. Not a car in sight. Not one car. And I'm talking, we're out in the wilderness. His nearest neighbors were like 4 miles away.
And you know they didn't walk.
Yeah, exactly. So when we drive up, when we pulled in, it was a kind of a weird fork in the road that the other way went off, and it was fenced off somebody's property back in there. And the other way went off was like down a mountain, didn't really look too trusting. And the only other way back was that we flip a bitch or we turn around. And so as we pull up, we're about 20 yards away from them. And as we pull up, all of them, every single one of them, all at the same time, synchronized, looked at us. Boom, turned their heads and just looked at us. And I, you know, first thing that thought in my mind, I had a gun in my hand and I wasn't thinking, shoot. I was like, go, go, go. And so we take off. He skirts. He has to do about a 2-point turn. So when he does the turn, the tail of the truck whips around. I'm holding on for dear life in the back of this truck, and we're going about 40 miles an hour back up this.
Yeah,
river.
Get it. What were they barbecuing in that pit?
I'm not sure, but they were all looking at it, and it was directly behind the archway, and they were all just staring at it like a portal.
See, they could have been Satanists too, you know. We'll be back. Well, the week of November 16th is coming up pretty fast. That is the week that we will be running our 5 sci-fi television programs, starting Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. Pacific Time. 5 separate shows for that week, and I hope you enjoy them. If the numbers look good, it's all about ratings, then it'll be back. And if we can just give them 1/10 of the coast-to-coast audience, it'll be a successful show. I think you'll like it because in those programs, you'll actually see coast-to-coast guests up front and personal. Okay, back we are to open lines. John in Indianapolis, you're up with us. John.
Hey, George. Hey. Hi, George. It's great to hear you.
Likewise.
You kept me from running off the road many a night.
Well, that's a good thing.
You better believe it, especially when I'm pulling doubles. What I want to talk to you about, last year we went on vacation. We were going down to St. Augustine, and we went ahead and was researching places to stay, and we decided on St. Francis Inn down there.
Okay.
And I didn't know anything about St. Francis Inn other than it looked pretty good on the Internet until I heard your show that night.
It's kind of a haunted place.
Yes, kind of. We went down there, and since I'd done some more research on it, and I got a camera and a recorder, and we took it down there and set up in our room. And we waited all week, and every time I walked out of the room, I said, you know, make yourself known if you're here. And there was a picture in the room that was supposedly haunted, and I'd always cock it at a little bit angle, hoping to get a little bit response out of something. But anyway, the very last night we were there, I had almost given up, and we were leaving. And as I was leaving the room, I said, okay, this is your last chance. Make yourself known, or I'm just not going to believe in ghosts. And I took my camera out, and I took pictures up and down all the stairways, in front of the doors, in the hallways, in our room. And nothing, I didn't see anything showing up right then in the pictures. But we went downstairs, and got a picture of my wife coming downstairs. And I was fixing coffee right in the in breakfast area. And I was looking at my wife, and it was kind of a quiet time. It was about 3:30 to 4 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was this beautiful, sexy, antebellum voice go, good morning. And it just floored me. It just floored me. And I asked my wife, I go, did you hear that? And she said, no, she didn't hear it.
She didn't hear it, huh?
No, and I can't. Lynn, there's somebody, you know, somebody just said good morning to me. And we were talking back and forth, and as we were talking, the chef came in to make breakfast. And we just told him what had happened, and he wasn't surprised. He said that he's opened the door, and there's been a lady standing right where I heard the voice. And he thought it was one of the customers at the inn. And then he said he'd be right with her. And when he turned around, she had gone. And there time him and his helper was fixing breakfast in the morning. And they walked in the other room, and all of a sudden, their big iron skillet flew across the kitchen and hit the wall on the other side.
A little angry ghost.
Yeah. And so anyway, we you know, we're pretty excited because we finally thought I had heard a, and my wife believed me finally. But we went out and to get in the car, and we got in the car and tried to start the car. Now, we have driven this car all week, and the car wouldn't start. And it was raining, and we sat there for about 10 minutes trying off on, and finally the car started. We got right on the highway close to the scenic.
And you're wondering whether you should ever turn it off, you know?
Yeah, but this right in front of us, a can had dropped off a truck, one of these large aircraft cans.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Right in the middle of the street, right in front of us. I was able to swerve right at the last second and missed it. And, you know, we were thinking, well, did this ghost want us to join her or, you know, was she trying to warn us on something? And we got home. We had all this go on. And we got home and we developed the photograph of my wife coming down the stairs, and right next to her, there was a woman with an old-fashioned house dress, and she had a bun on her head. So it's just kind of a...
It's the one with the great voice, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. She didn't match her voice coming down, but it was really interesting. And but it's... we really had... And that was very enjoyable. It was very comfortable when she talked.
Oh, it's a great place. It sounds like your battery's going on you, so plug yourself in. Let's go to Joe Allen in Dayton, Ohio. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Well, you're not going to believe this.
Sure I will.
I don't know. It's really weird. You know, the Hurricane Ike in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Ohio. We got hit with it.
Well, I believe it because in St. Louis... The studio down in the cave where I broadcast,
yeah,
four inches of water hid in there, and we just found out about it.
George, yesterday you're gonna laugh. Guess how I listened to you?
How?
You kept me going. Thank you. A little teeny radio with a headset.
How about that?
The candles, and my my little radio and my flashlight.
Yeah.
And I've been out of power. I was out of power since last Sunday at 2:20.
Wow.
And we got power. It would have been Friday morning today at 1:20 a.m.
You got hit not nearly as bad as they did down in Texas.
Oh, but, no. We were lucky because we didn't have the water.
No. You got the rain.
We didn't get the rain.
Surge.
We got the winds. They said the winds was like 78 miles per hour.
In Ohio?
In Ohio. It was, they called it a level one, I think it's called level one hurricane. Hurricane force wind gusts with no rain. It was unreal. I'm a Wendy's manager, and my store was closed down, and we closed it with flashlights last Sunday. And on Monday, you know, I went out, and we trucked in water for the horses because I board my horse. And
what kind of horse do you have?
I have a young Canadian horse. There's only like about...
There's not a lot of those.
No. They're about... When she was 3 months old, she was on the critical conservation list as extinct, and now they're off of that. They're more endangered. So I helped this lady, and then I found out on Monday, you know, I went down to this to our other store that the owner had, and it was unreal. I mean, it was the only restaurant open, and I worked for Wendy's, and it was like people after people coming in, and they were so nice. I mean... This one lady that with her little kids didn't have any money, and she thought she had enough to buy her food, and she was crying, and the man behind her bought her food. And today when I worked, it was so sweet. There was a real young guy. He was like probably in his 30s. I'm 46. And an older man was up there, and his power had been out, and he was like in his 70s, and the man bought his food. And, I mean, it's just I've seen so much kindness, and at points, you know, because I just got my power back yesterday, or today, really.
Let me tell you something. In spite of anything, Joellen, Americans rise to the occasion to help other people.
George, it was so sweet. I mean, at points, you know, I was getting ready for work with a flashlight, you know. I washed my clothes in the bathtub, and it's just, we take so much for granted. And, I mean, I thought you was going to think I was stupid, but I wanted to call and share this with you. And, you know, I was so lucky to find D-size batteries yesterday. And we listened to you with a big boom box.
All right, see, there you go. You could get the whole neighborhood to listen to us. West of the Rockies, you are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
So I am a Waldorf teacher. I teach first grade.
Okay.
And I have a little boy in my class, and I actually need advice. He has an amazing imagination. He's very bright, but I've been having trouble with him in class because he can't focus. But he talks of a land that he's from called Reptilia, and he's so involved in his imagination. And I've asked him and documented it because it's so incredible. But he says that he was from Reptilia 10,000 years ago, but, you know, they have no concept of time, so who knows. But it blew up, landed on Earth in the ocean, attached itself, and he is part reptilian.
That's an incredible story.
It's incredible, and I'm having a meeting with his parents, and I've had many meetings with them, and I said, you know, has he ever listened to the radio? How much TV does he watch?
Mm-hmm.
Where does he get it? And they said they don't know where he gets it, that it's so detailed that he talks about, you know, about what they look like and how they think. And he said to me this amazing thing. I just got goosebumps. He said, when he met me when I was six, and he came into my house, and he met me, and he said that I should be his teacher. And he described my house practically exactly, and I grew up in Trinity County, in we built our own house.
Sure.
So it's not like any old house you'd see. It's, you know, it's built from the ground up
right.
by us. So there's all kinds of different things.
You'd have to see it to know all about it, right?
You'd have to see it. And I had never, you know, I'd never shown him pictures or really talked about my house.
Now, let's talk about him a little bit more. Did he? He said that his land blew up. Now you're talking about he was from another planet. Okay.
Yes.
And then how did he get here to planet Earth?
Well, he said that his parents are also part reptilian.
You think, did he say anything about getting into a craft of some type and came here when you said he splashed into the water?
He didn't really say he splashed. He said that this land, it attached itself to the bottom of the ocean many, many, many years ago, and that they are coming back. And that there are people who are reptilian. And I said, well, is your brother reptilian? He has a little brother. And he said, no, but my parents are.
What a story. Now, I wonder if, again, he probably fled this planet in some kind of a ship, but I wonder if the remnants of that exploded planet crashed, you know, almost like a meteor type, asteroid type, smashed into the planet, landed in the ocean, and that's what he meant by it attached itself.
That's what he said, yeah. Yes. So he said it landed in the ocean, and it attached itself to the bottom of the ocean. And he said that it's coming back now, that it's more powerful now.
This landmass?
This landmass underneath the ocean, yes. And he said that he describes it, and he even has a language that he will give us when he is telling us how, you know, they talk.
Does he write out what this language is?
No, I asked for his parents to actually get, because we're trying to figure out ways, because he's had psychological, you know, they gave him, said that he had all these problems. And I said, you know, I really want to try to work with this. And so I asked him to write it, and he is keeping a book, but he doesn't write out the language. He just writes about reptilia.
Does he,
and what it's like.
Does he interact with other kids?
He has a hard time, but the kids really love him, and he's very charismatic. He speaks like an adult. I mean, his vocabulary is so extensive.
He has shown no violence?
He does get angry, and he'll like get red, and he'll go under a chair or have to take a break. But he doesn't show violence toward other children, no, not at all.
Everything we've heard about reptilians, about this breed, is that they are the mean ones.
Yeah, well, he says that there's somebody that comes over him, and his name is Colvin.
What an imagination, or what a story.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And I've been trying to talk to you about it, because I just, when I heard it on the radio, I love your show, by the way. It's like a treat. But when I heard it, I couldn't believe it, because he's been talking to me about this since the beginning of the year, and I don't know. I don't quite know what to do. Or
has he been hypnotized before, do you know?
No. And his parents have never heard of the radio station, and I don't know whether to say something to them and have them look into it or get hypnotized.
I would suggest that first and foremost by a good hypnotist. This could be a past life regression situation.
Yeah.
You know, if one believes in that. It could be his vivid imagination.
Right.
But there's something there, and it's well worth checking. And maybe in hypnosis, they might be able to pull something out of him. I mean, this kid may have the secrets of the universe wrapped up in his head.
Exactly. I sometimes feel that. But what I try to tell him is that he has to be here now, because it's affecting him and his parents. And it seems like he's almost in pain, you know. And I've dealt with a lot of children, and I've never seen anything like this before.
I've never heard of anything like that, ever.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling, Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be. Whichever world you're living in, whatever century.
For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.